you would guide our discussions to be a blessing to others. Father, this morning we want to pray for those that are in our bulletin, those who are suffering from illnesses. We ask that you would lay your healing hand on them. Some are dealing with spiritual weaknesses. You know who they are, and we ask that you would uplift them, send your Holy Spirit to them to give them confidence in trusting you. We ask, Father, that you would continue to be with our young men who are in the military, that each one will keep you in their hearts, that they will stay close by your side. We pray that you will always be with Pastor Don and Ruth as they are leading our church, that you would guide them in decisions that they make, that you would give Pastor Don good health. And this morning we ask that you would be with Eurides as he brings us the word, as he shares with us about the light of this world. Help us to place these words in our hearts that we will understand, that we will keep them close to our hearts, and that we will always be able to share with others. And we thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Colleen. Good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Let's see, I've been having a little bit of issue with technology today. Not unusual when you deal with this kind of stuff, right? Right, perfect. I think we're up. Oh, it's been a while. I remember last time I spoke from up here, I was still wearing a face mask. That was really uncomfortable. Thank God that we're free now and we can breathe. I'm aiming for a short sermon today, 20 to 25 minutes, but disclaimer, remember once stands up here and prays, and the Holy Spirit takes the lead. It's hard to control that time. And it's a really long sermon, and I try to cut a lot of information. So I don't guarantee it's going to be a short sermon, but I'm aiming for that. I hope that we all are blessed with this sermon. Let there be light. If you didn't know, I love light. It's something that I love with passion. And I don't know when this happened or when it started to happen. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go up to the roof of a tall building up in a hill, and I could look down to the city at night. And those lights were so beautiful, so pretty. I was having a tough childhood. And just going up there at night by myself and looking at those lights, it's just peaceful, beautiful. And I think that's maybe when it started. I'm not sure. I just know that ever since I was a child, I love lights. So every time I see lights, lanterns, night lights, Christmas lights, all sort of lights, including the blue one right now, I just love it. I just love lights. And so my wife knows that. And for a while, we had lights in our rooms. We ended up removing them, and we haven't had time to hang them up again, but we're still in the process of doing that. But I just love it. And so I was thinking, what's a spiritual lesson that I can get out of this? You know, I love lights with passion at night, and light shines in the darkness. And there is so much in the Bible we can learn about it. And I still haven't even think about preparing a sermon. I need to preach about this. So there's too much I can say about it. There's too much in the Bible we can say about it. And it's really hard to keep it short, but we're trying to do it. So one of my favorite things is, for example, going to a restaurant at night, that when they have outdoor seating and they have those night lights hanging, it's just not just romantic, it's just beautiful. It's pretty to me. Even if I pass by and I look at the lights, it's just beautiful. I enjoy that. So I really like that. And for those who like fireworks, 4th of July just happened, and we got to enjoy fireworks, or some of us got to enjoy fireworks, thankfully, and this is my praise. I guess it's a little bit too late for praise and prayer, but thankfully we didn't have any fire here in the valley started by fireworks. We praise God for that. There was a little bit of debate whether the city should ban fireworks or not. Some were arguing that maybe if, like, people were going to have fireworks anyway, either illegally or legally, so they were going to go up to the woods where it's even more dangerous. So it's better to have it within the city limits where it's less dangerous. I'm thankful that we got to enjoy those lights, and it was really pretty. I'm not sure, though. I was talking to my wife and my family. I'm not sure if I like the light or the boom. Like, I feel it inside of me. It's just so cool. I don't know. But I just like it in general. So what is the definition of light? I have to go up and look for the definition of light. And it's something that makes vision possible. And that is a simple definition for something that is really complicated. And for those who would like a more scientific definition, we have this definition. That is, light or visible light is electromagnetic radiation within the portion of electromagnetic spectrum that is perceived by human eye. Visible light is usually defined as having wavelengths in the range of 400 or 700 nanometers between the infrared, with longer wavelengths, and the ultraviolet, with shorter wavelengths. These wavelengths means a frequency range about 430 and 750 terahertz. Do you understand that? Me neither. It's complicated, right? So I think we better go back to the simple definition. Something that makes vision possible. What is light? Something that makes vision possible. What does the Bible say about light? Is it probably easier for us to understand when we go to the spiritual definition of light? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath. And we thank you for the opportunity we have today of studying the Bible. Please be with us as we study theology, as we study the Bible. May we learn this spiritual lesson you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go to Genesis, the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. And we find here the story of creation. And in the story of creation, the very first thing we find that was created after God created the heavens and the earth was what? Light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? And there was light. why is light included? Why was it important for the author, for the writing here, to make sure the reader knew that God wasn't acting, that God wasn't creating, that God wasn't working within the darkness, but that God made light happen before he created everything else? What is the importance of this concept of light? And just for us to have a mindset of what we are speaking about today, we're going to be doing reference to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, which is the incarnation theology. And it's within this context that we're bringing the concept of light out. So we need to be mindful that while God was incarnating himself, coming to the earth to take the form of a human to save you and me, there is light involved in the whole process ever since the beginning of creation of the world. And so it's a concept that we cannot just overlook. It's a concept that we have to pay attention to. It's a very important detail that we have to pay attention to. Last week, if you remember Pastor Dunn's sermon, we learned about Lucifer and his role. And Lucifer, and his role means he's a light bearer, and he rejected the light and chose darkness. And so in here we have the creation story, and we have God saying, let us create. And God, in the beginning, then creates. And this is all happening after Satan had revealed and had been kicked out of heaven. And so there's darkness because Satan chose darkness. And we don't know how it happened. It's still a mystery. But sin happened in heaven, and Satan was kicked out, and God is creating this perfect world, and he creates light. God said, let there be light. Some people argue, and it said that when it says that God said, let there be light, he didn't actually say it with words, but his power was creating. And there's not an official position within Christianity of what actually happened. Did God actually say, let there be light, and there was light? Or it was just through his power, and this is just an expression that God was creating. And through his, because the Bible says it's through his power. But then also, Psalms 33:6 and 33:9 says that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So we have several arguments within the Bible to support both sides. I choose to believe that God said, and not to brag about studying Hebrew now, but when I read in Hebrew Vayomer Or, I understand that Vayomer is the to say, verb to say, and is in it's conjugated in that form that God said. And so I don't think the author was just, okay, this is just an expression that I want to put it in here so the reader understands. Maybe he wanted to say, God actually said, let there be light. And with his power, then light was created. What was this light? There's also debate about that. It's not the same as the light of the sun. Scientists say that this light might have been just electric forces that made light appear, and the glory of God and his light was revealed to separate darkness, because we're not created, but the creation that was about to happen needed to have that separation between light and darkness, and God was creating within light. So this light that God created, it was really important that was already there so he could create into light, and that the new creation was created separated from that darkness that was already existing. So we have in here that the supreme the Supreme God speaks. And so with his word, by speaking, he gives nature and the universe this enduring power that by his word and by his power, everything is being created within his light. After he said, let there be light. So light is the first thing created. And then after that, he starts creating the rest of the things, including the sun and the stars, which were created after God said, let there be light, but acquire this this form of energy that concentrated within this gigantic ball that we call sun and stars. And then we have other objects in the universe that reflect light. So what can we learn from that? And what can we learn from the definition we brought up first? That light is something that makes light visible. Maybe that something is God in our lives. What is that something that makes life visible? What is that something that makes vision, that makes us see? Is it possible for us to see without that light that makes everything be seen? Jesus said that he is the light of the world. And that we believe. Now, when we see John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we can start linking some concepts that we see in Genesis. And it says, in the beginning, then we have the second beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And now, why do I say that I take the position that God actually said, let there be light, and there was light, and light was created, and God actually said? Because in the creation account, 9 times, there's the Hebrew verb, Vayomer or Vayomer, that means God said. So I don't think that God was just thinking or imagining things and things were coming into existence. Because John 1:1-3 says that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos in Greek, which is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning, and through him, all things were made. So what I believe is that while God was speaking, Jesus was creating. When God said, let there be light, in my mind, I want to think that the glory of Jesus was shining. And that energy converted into light was what separated darkness, sin, from the glory of God, light. In the beginning, God created. And so we see the link in here between the Word representing Jesus and when God said the Word, his words, his powerful words, being the agent of creation in here. And through Jesus, everything being created. When we open the New Testament, we have references of the light being representing the presence of God. When we look back to the Old Testament and to the New Testament, in both we can find light representing the presence of God. When we look into the people of Israel and the sanctuary, the Shekinah, the presence of God was a light. And when we see the story of how they went through the desert, the presence of God was with them during the night as a light, guiding them. And in the New Testament, we can find several references of light representing God and representing the Holy Spirit and how God, through his light, through his glory, is with us. So why is light important for us as Christians? Why is it so important that we understand the power of light in our lives? The Word of God is our light. Jesus is the light. And through His Word, through His Logos, the Bible, we can find that light. But it doesn't stop there. It goes farther than that. Because John says that that Word was with God since the beginning. But by saying that the Word was with God, he's not saying that he's not anymore. So it's still with God. And by the Word being with God and being God and Jesus being the light of the world, and those two concepts being linked and us having the Bible as our light, we then have Jesus and have the Father and have the Holy Spirit with us. And so when we turn all of these concepts into one and we understand that the Word of God saying, let there be light, and the Word of God being with God since the beginning and being God, and us having the Word of God, the Bible, we have the light. More important, when we look to verse 4 in John, in Him was life. And that life was what? The light of all mankind. Couldn't be more clear to me that that life was light. That life equals light, or vice versa. That light equals life. From a scientific point, if we don't have sunlight, nothing can survive on Earth. This world would be too cold for us. No plants, not life of any form. But in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And we can translate that from John 1:4 to, in the beginning, there was no life. And God said, let there be life. And there was life, because we came into existence through His Word. And I say, amen. In Him was life. The creation, the calling into existence, life in its various forms, leads up to the source of this life. It is in the Word, by original being, by God, that we were created in the image of God. And we are told that God, He formed us with His hands, but then what did He do? He gave us, He breathed into us, and His breath gave us what? Gave us life. And the life was the light of all mankind. Here we can see the relation of the Word to the universe, to His relation to mankind. We can see how God is light. And I would like to read these. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. In every man there are rays of light, stronger or feebler, in greater or lesser darkness. In every man there is a power to see the light and open his soul to it. And the more he has it, still to crave for more. The more we study the Bible, the more we learn and understand that we need to keep studying. The more we pray, the more we learn about Jesus, the more we realize how much we need Him. And then we need to keep studying. And then we need to keep reading. And then we need to keep praying. But what is the point of all of that? Why do we keep learning about Jesus, the light? What do we do with this light that is being given to us?
Share it.
And that's the point. We were created to share that light. When God created mankind and gave us life, it says that life was the light of all mankind. But then sin happened, of course, and darkness came, and some people rejected that light. But we are still called to go out there and represent God and represent Jesus and let His light shine through us. And verse 5 of John says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Whether we decide to shine for God or not, the light's still out there. The light's gonna shine. It's up to you and me today to decide what we are doing with that light that is being given to us. It's up to you and I to stand firm against the world, because the world is rejecting the light. But we can decide if we want to hide that light or if we want to shine for Jesus. The decision is ours. And to conclude, let us look at Acts chapter 9, the story of Paul, or Saul then. When he was on his way to Damascus, you can open your Bibles if you want to, Acts chapter 9. Saul was on his way to Damascus, and verse 3 says that he saw suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the gods." And so he gets the command, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And then we also have later on verse 11 how God calls Ananias, and he asks him, "Arise and go to the street and street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." And let's jump to verse 15. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" So God was choosing Saul in here. If we read in verse 15 where it says that he has chosen Paul to bear his name before the Gentiles. So what happened in the rest of John chapter 5? Because we have to link it to Acts chapter 9. When we see the rest of John chapter 1 verses 6, we see that John the Baptist was sent also to bear witness of the light, but he was not the light. He was supposed to be a witness of the light so that mankind could come to the light, to the real light that was who? Jesus. And we see Saul in here being called to also be a witness for the Gentiles. And that is the call that you and I are receiving in this morning. In the beginning, God created, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then God created mankind and gave us life. And John says that life was the light of mankind. So God gave us life. God gave us light. The Bible is the light that we have received. His word, the word that was creating at the beginning. We have been called to shine. We have been called to become beautiful lights in the night. So that when people like me who love light see it at night, we can come to Jesus. And I would like to conclude with Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. It says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and the light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Are you willing to go for Jesus in this morning and be a light in darkness? We are called to shine. We are called to use that light that it's been given to us to free people from sin, from darkness, from suffering, and to help them see the light of Jesus because he is the light of the world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the light of the word. We thank you for the life that you have given us. And we thank you for calling us to shine for you. But Lord, we just want you to open our eyes in this morning. May we see your light shining. May your light shine upon us. And may we go out there and shine for you. In the darkness of sin. May we be your witness. Please bless each and every one of us. Bless the Valley View Church, each member, each family, each youth, adult, and elder, everyone who's part of this congregation. Bless our leadership, O Lord. Bless our ministries that we shine in this world as a church and that we accept your call to shine for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.